Hi, this is Fiona Thomas from New Zealand Doctor. Shortly before September's general election, we sat down with the health representatives from the four highest polling political parties to ask them about their health policies. As we now know, that election eventually resulted in a new health minister, Labour's David Clark. So here's a short version of what he said to me about primary care and funding.
So first of all, if you had to choose only one of your health policies, which one do you believe has the potential to make the biggest improvement to the health of New Zealanders and why?
Our primary care policy, I think, has the opportunity to make the biggest difference to New Zealanders. We believe that all New Zealanders should have affordable access to quality healthcare, and we think that the way to achieve that is by making sure that primary care is appropriately funded, that it's sustainable, and that people can access services early to prevent them getting sicker. And of course, with that, to prevent costs further down the system. So we've announced that we will make sure that doctor's visits are cheaper for patients by $10. And that means that we are making affordable access a reality for many people, because currently the government statistics say that over 500,000 New Zealanders can't afford to go to the GP for reasons of cost. We think we can do much better than that. And of course, we want to make sure the sector is sustainable. So we are funding also on a fee-for-service basis those $10 reductions at $12, and the GP through the PHO will get to keep a proportion of that $10, which we hope will address the shortfall in funding that's historic and make practices sustainable whilst we review the whole system, which we intend to do as soon as we are in government.
And it's a review you plan to have done within 18 months, is that correct?
Yes, we want to have the review done in 18 months because the current system isn't working, it isn't right, and could be improved. And we believe that in consultation with the sector, we can create a better system that ensures sustainability and accessibility.
Do you accept the view of the college that the whole of primary care funding needs to be reviewed, including capitation and VLCA? And if yes, what will you do about it if elected?
Yes, we do. And we will have a review of capitation funding and VLCA as a part of our broader review over the first 18 months in government. That will produce an outcome together with the sector that we hope will provide sustainability and accessibility.
Do you have any plans for who will be involved in that review?
We would like to see the people who are elected by the sector itself involved in the review, so the peak bodies, representatives and specialists, and of course there will be naturally representatives from government who will be responsible for implementation.
Do you accept the view of the college and others that many more GPs need to be trained each year to address workforce shortages? And what will you do about it if elected?
Yes, full stop. We will increase the number of vocational training places for GPs from the current 180 up to 300. We know there are plenty of medical students who want to be GPs, but there are not enough training places available currently. So we've set aside $30 million to lift that number over 3 years progressively, so that we do have more GPs and start to address that shortfall, because we know that nearly half of all GPs are expected to retire in the next 10 years. We know we have a shortage of GPs in our rural communities, and we also have underserved communities that could do with more GP care.
If elected, will you shift more healthcare services into primary care? And if so, will you increase its share of total health funding?
Yes, full stop. We will increase healthcare services into primary care, and we have put aside over $1 billion in our first 4 years of government precisely for that, because we know that primary care has been underfunded over a long period of time, and we know that if we put money into primary care, not only do we improve the quality of people's lives, but we also improve the sustainability of the whole system. So it makes sense both from a social and from an economic perspective. It is what I think most people in the sector understand to be the right thing to do, even those who aren't personally benefiting from that investment in primary care. We will get on with that. We've made our commitment. Our fiscal plan is transparent and has been independently audited. We are not prioritising tax cuts for skewed towards the wealthy in election year. And we have also said that we will pay down the debt that this national government has run up a little slower than they intend to. And both of those things together give us quite a lot of headroom for spending in health and education, which are our priorities. Our priorities are not tax cuts in election year. Our priorities are investment in health and education for the public benefit.
What is your priority? Reducing DHB deficits or improving access to treatment?
Well, we want to do both, and that would involve making sure that the health system is adequately funded. And we asked Infometrics, as an independent economics agency, to look at the Treasury data and tell us how much more money would need to have been put in since 2009 to deliver the same level of services across the health sector, with an ageing demographic, a growing population, and more children actually accessing services too. And their estimate was that $2.3 billion more would need to have been put into the health sector just to deliver the same level of services since 2009. So with a $2.3 billion shortfall, the thresholds for care have risen. For example, mental health, it's no longer enough to be suicidal to get access to psych services. You have to have a strong referral from a GP, sometimes pushed further than that, a plan and so on. And we know that's not adequate. It's also true that people are going blind waiting for cataract surgery, and that hip and knee surgery requires a higher level of disability than used to be the case. So we want to make sure that the system is funded properly. We've promised to put a total of $8 billion more dollars in over the first 4 years of a Labor government than the government is currently planning on putting in. And $8 billion is a sizable amount of money. We'll also want to make sure that money is well spent. It's not simply a matter of putting more money into the sector. We want to review the way healthcare services are delivered to make sure that we are getting the outcomes that health consumers would expect.
So just to be completely clear, how would you reduce DHB deficits without decreasing access to treatment?
Well,
is it that
DHB deficits are currently projected to be in the low 100 millions, and $8 billion should go some way towards reducing those deficits, as well as, more importantly, delivering the care that patients need.
What can you say to GPs who feel overworked, burnt out, frustrated by funding issues and wondering whether they should continue with the job?
Yep, well, hang in there. Help is on the way. They should vote Labor, and they will see, in short order, better support for the work that they do, because Labor has always taken a long-term view. Don't forget, Annette King devised the health strategy and the primary care strategy that have largely remained in place under the current government, and has made those major shifts in focus to ensure that the sector is supported. The package that we've announced on primary care is the biggest injection into the sector in a decade. It is overdue, and we are incredibly grateful for the services of those GPs and those involved in primary health care who continue to deliver despite currently working in an incredibly constrained environment. So, hang in there, vote Labor, help is on its way.
And do you want to be Health Minister?
Absolutely. I am looking forward to being Health Minister, although I don't underestimate the size of the challenge ahead. The Ministry of Health has had well-documented struggles, and the sector itself is crying out for positive change and leadership from the centre. There are so many good people whose patience has been tested for a long time. And if I am fortunate enough to be the Health Minister after this election, I'll be asking them for patience as we try to make sure that we prioritise fixing the system so that it can be sustainable and deliver the outcomes that we know it can deliver for patients across New Zealand.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.